Please be seated, everybody. And I'd like to introduce Art Hupka as our guest preacher this morning.
Well, as I told Reverend Cherie, I tried to lighten up my schedule, and so I didn't have time to prepare for today. Always a good idea to bring a visual aid. So there's my little sheep. As we did our passing of the peace and asked if there was someone that we felt we should connect with or reconnect with, and I certainly think God is one of those that we need to be connecting with and reconnecting with all the time. It's always a good idea to start out a little bit of humor, maybe a joke you will remember, even though the rest of the words you probably won't. So, it's Sunday morning, and the mother goes in to wake her son for church. The son says, "No, I'm not going to church today." "No, no, you're going." "No, I'm not going today. And here's two reasons why I'm not going. They hate me there, and I hate them." And she says, "You're going. Number one, because you're 53 years old, and you're the pastor." So, 52, okay. All right. Well, there's no doubt about it. As Reverend Shree pointed out last week and again this week, we see that we are busy people. From time to time, from the time we wake up in the morning till the time we go to bed at night. Busy, busy, busy with all the activities. And with all these things we're doing, who really has time for God? It's kind of ironic in a way that we can get so busy, even with our church activities, that we have no time for God. I think it's important that we understand, of all the things that we do in our lives, the most important thing is our relationship with Jesus. It's not about church programs. It's not about all the ministries that we're involved in. It's not about coming to church on Sunday morning. It's our relationship with God that really counts. Now, Lent is a season for reflection on our relationship with God. I think if many of us are truthful, we're going to find that we fall way short of spending time with God each day. And we need to carve out more time for God in our lives. The 40 days of Lent represents the 40 days Jesus spent in the desert preparing for his ministry. He survived those 40 days because he trusted God and never lost focus of his relationship with him. We too should take this time of Lent to focus on our relationship with God. We need to slow down, make some time to reconnect with Jesus. Now let's begin our reconnection by honestly answering some questions. How is my relationship with God? Or as John Wesley might have said, how is it with your soul? By that I mean, do you really trust God? Ask yourself that question. Do you really trust God? If you really do, then why don't we trust him when things are a little tough? We get panicked and fearful and so on. It's like we don't trust God. Do you feel like no matter how bad things are, that he's there with you? Do you talk to God every day? Do you talk to him many times during a day? Do you take Jesus right along with you wherever you go and talk to him? Or are you like most people and only talk to God when you need or want something? and kind of use them like the genie in a bottle, you know. Oh, I'm in trouble now. Oh, come on, genie, help me. I promise that if you help me, I'll do this and that. As I said, I do hope you realize that your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. It's more important than anything else. It's more important than family. It's more important than country. It's more important than religion. Your relationship with God. That's the only thing that's going to matter. Now, we're going to steal a glimpse of David's relationship with God and ask ourselves, where are we in our relationship with him? To do this, we're going to use the Psalm of Trust, Psalm 23, because I think it really illustrates David and God's relationship very well. All right, for all the people that are here, they're shepherds, raise their hand. Okay, we got one, we got two. No, we got three. All right, so there's a few others that really don't understand the behavior between a shepherd and a sheep. So let's talk a little bit about some of those things that will help us understand this psalm a little better. First of all, sheep are timid animals and very fearful. So when they're fearful, they may become paralyzed and unable to move. And things can scare them, just even like a dark shadow moving, a rabbit scampering across, can put them in a panic state. They're pretty defenseless. You think about it. How's this little creature here going to defend itself? Not very well. So the shepherd carries a rod, sort of a club-like with a knob on the end, sometimes with stones or things in it for chasing away animals that might be preying on the sheep. They're wayward creatures that may wander off, get lost, and panic to the point they can't move. Hence, you remember that one sheep. They had the 99, but the one was missing, and so the shepherd had to go and find that one sheep and had to carry it back because it was terrified. It was lost. It was terrified. So he had to physically bring that sheep back. Sheep won't lay down to rest or sleep if they're hungry, in conflict with other sheep, or being troubled by gnats and flies. They just won't do it. And like us a little bit, if life is too good and they get too fat, if they accidentally happen to fall or turn on their backs, they can't get up. They're stuck. Sort of like us when we get stuck. We need the good shepherd to come and help us back on our feet. Okay, so with that little bit of background, let's talk about the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He leads me. Notice that when David, who we think wrote this psalm, is first talking, he's talking about God. He makes me lie down. He leads me. But then in verse 4 and 5, he sort of switches and makes things more personal by speaking or talking directly with God. I fear no evil. You are with me. He's having now a conversation. And I think this switch is kind of this subtle change that we see here is telling us that we should spend less time talking about God and more time talking with God in prayer or just a conversation. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Think about this phrase. David is saying, the eternal God, the creator of everything that exists, is his personal shepherd. How awesome. Can you imagine? The Lord is my shepherd. Every Christian should learn to trust God enough to be able to say that the Lord is my shepherd. This fantastic, awesome God. And feel a personal relationship. This is like having Jesus as your personal mentor. Sadly, we often say to God in our busy schedule, sorry, I don't have time to talk to you today or this week or whatever. When I get really desperate, you'll hear from me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What? Wait a minute. What? I shall not want? This is confusing. It always confused me as a kid. It sounded like I didn't want my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd and I don't want him. Now, that's not what's really being said here. It doesn't mean that we won't desire or want anything. Instead, it really means we won't be left wanting anything that is good for us. It means that God's sheep will never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them. God is all we ever need. He's enough. The shepherd is always at our side. And that's all we really need. Maybe it would be better to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. Give me that second slide. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Remember, I told you that sheep refuse to lie down and sleep or rest if they're not free from fear and hunger and friction with other sheep. When David says he makes me lie down in green pastures, David is saying that the Lord often removes obstacles in our life so that we can rest, have a restoring rest, a spiritual restfulness. A shepherd provides his sheep with food, rest, and restoration. God provides us with his word, the scriptures, which are the principal means of giving spiritual nourishment, rest, and restoration. Are you being restored, refreshed by reading his word? Do you read his word daily, weekly, monthly, last year? How is it with your soul? Being spiritually restored means that we walk in the paths of righteousness or along the right paths. You know, sheep can't take care of themselves, and neither can we. Like sheep, we tend to wander off the path, set out on our own, and we need to trust our shepherd. We need to trust our God to guide us back on the right paths. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake? Well, I don't understand that. Do you understand that? Dick, do you understand that? Would you come up here and explain to me? No, you won't. Okay. David knew that he could trust God to guide and take care of him, to put him on right paths, because our goodness gives glory to God. God wants us on those right paths, doing those right things, living a righteous life, because it brings glory to him. The greater the light we shine, the greater the glory of God. The measure of a good shepherd is the condition of his flock. Shepherds could tell, or you could tell, who was a good shepherd and who was a bad shepherd by looking at the condition of the flock. Were they sickly looking, not growing well, etc.? Or they look healthy and so on? That was a reflection of how the shepherd was taking care of his sheep. David had that assurance that God would take care of him. Even though, can we have the next slide? Click, click. Thank you. I forgot my clicker. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the blessing of our shepherd is not elimination of our problems, nor is it the elimination of our enemies. The only promise is that no matter what we go through, he will be with us. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. So ask yourself, so why are we in these bad places anyway? Why do we have to go through this valley of the shadow of death? Why is that? Well, if you're a shepherd, Michael, Cherie, and somebody else, if you're a shepherd, I have to move my sheep from place to place to have good grazing. And to get from this place to that place, oftentimes we had to go through dark valleys, shadowed valleys, bad places, maybe dangerous places. Now, the good shepherd always knows where you're going, where he's taking the sheep, what the dangers are, what the right paths are to take to get to this other good place. He either leads them or he's right beside them, perhaps using his staff to guide them along. In our life journey, we often find ourselves in dark valleys because we may have to go through these dark places in order for us to mature spiritually and to be able to help others. Dear God, why am I in this mess? Why am I in the middle of a divorce? Why has I lost my job? Why is my child sick? Why do I have to be in this dark place? Part of it's because to mature you so that you can reach out and help your brother and sister when they find themselves in those dark places to be in a better place. Think about for a minute about Joseph's life. We all remember Joseph in his colorful coat. His life went through many dark valleys. He was sold into slavery, thrown into prison because the Pharaoh's wife accused him of him trying to seduce her, and on and on. And then eventually he rose to second highest position in Egypt. And his brothers come to visit. And they're terrified once they realize who this is. And Joseph said, don't worry about it. It's okay. Don't be fearful. God put me in those places to bring me to this point right now with the experience I have so that I can be here to help you and help others. And that's often why we find ourselves in bad places. To prepare ourselves, make us better for other people, to help other people. When times are good, do you kneel and pray a lot? Most of us don't. We wait till times are bad. When times are good, the grass is lush and there's plenty to eat. A lot of fresh water. Sheep get fat. Now, if they happen to go to snuggle down in a place and they accidentally roll on their side or onto their back, now they're stuck. They can't get back up by themselves. So shepherds count the sheep all the time. Are any missing? And if there are any missing, they're going to go looking for them, and oftentimes they're going to find them either lost and paralyzed, afraid to move even, or on their back somewhere with their feet sticking up in the air, sort of like a turtle on its back. And if you don't find them and rescue them, either the elements or predators will prey on them, and they won't survive. So the good shepherd has to go and help them back on their feet to save them. How about us? When we get stuck, when things are so good, we don't have to worry about food and money and everything else, and now we're haughty and we've done it all ourselves and so on. And that's when we get in trouble. We don't reconnect with God. We don't thank God. We're not cautious, and so we end up stuck on our back somewhere and need God to come and rescue us. maybe, okay, we are at that last slide. So the table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Boy, that didn't make any sense to me at all. What? Why are you sitting down out in the middle of the desert and having a meal or something with your enemies there? You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, even though sheep must go through dangerous places, the good shepherd is right there with them. And the reward at the end of the trip through these bad places is a nice lush field, good grasses to eat, fresh water. And the shepherd they may be scratched and so on, and the shepherd may anoint them with oil to heal those wounds. According to Bedouin law of hospitality, once a traveler is received into the shepherd's tent, and especially if the host has spread food before them, he is guaranteed immunity from his enemies. They can be right there. And it's the law. You don't bother them once they're in at that table. To sit as a guest at the table of a host was to be assured of food, housing, fellowship, and protection. And the guest was not fed leftovers. My cup runneth over. He was given the best foods they have and ample amounts. So this was a good place. The sheep made this rough trip through these valleys, mountainsides, so on. They get to the place, and now they're in fellowship with their shepherd. So the blessings offered by God to us by God is not the elimination of our problems, not the elimination of our enemies, but rather the blessing of our shepherd is a table set for two at the end of our journey. In the psalm, David is describing the joy of being in personal relationship with God, a relationship that has no end. As the psalm says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this psalm that's so familiar to us, many of us don't get to hear it the last time because they're done at funerals. And it's a shame because this psalm is about life and relationship with God. It portrays a journey, our journey with God. Our final destination is the house of the Lord. And it is our final destination that everything we do along the way should define where we're going to be at the end. So we must unclutter our busy lives so that we have time to talk with God, to develop a personal relationship with God. We need to learn to trust Jesus as a sheep depend on a good shepherd as we travel through our dark valleys of life so he can protect us and keep us safe until we arrive at the end of our journey. So let's decrease our busyness so we can develop a trusting personal relationship with Jesus so that we can be prepared to meet our good shepherd at the end of the trip. Take time to talk with Jesus. So how are we going to do this? It's not easy. I've done different things. Many years ago, when I was really lost, I put a big thick rubber band around my wrist, and every time I started having a negative thought, I pulled that thing and snapped it good and said a prayer and talked to Jesus. I've done other things like that to help me to remember in the middle of the good and the middle of the bad to talk to Jesus. Talk to him as a brother. He's your friend. Now, we all carry one of these devices. It has an alarm or alarms on it. Set those alarms for a couple of times during the day. And when the alarm goes off, say a little prayer. Thank God for being with you. Thank you.